Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
So welcome everybody to episode 333 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us again on this Black Friday, probably the eighth time we've done this show on Black Friday, talking about beer releases and what is going on in the industry. Let me introduce my co-hosts who are with me today, starting with Wendy. Wendy, what are you drinking over there?
Well, I was lucky enough to run into a Goose Island Bananas Foster, so I thought I would start with that.
And Dan, how about you?
I can't believe people are buying that. This is the worst year for those releases. I almost cracked an Eagle Rare, but I've got the standard Bourbon County because it's pretty damn good.
This year?
Yeah, this year.
All right. And for myself, I have a Bourbon County 2019 that I cracked open. Not going to share this with anyone because I don't have to. But we have with us, we're going to try this again. Brand new host.
Take two
is probably take in regards to new hosts.
In regards to?
And oh, damn it. It's been a minute since I've said that. Bingo Square, take your drink. We've got Rob. Rob, welcome back to the show. Why don't you give an introduction, tell us what you're drinking, and a little bit about yourself, where you live, some of your favorite breweries by you, that kind of stuff.
Sure. I'm Rob. I am currently drinking a Grizz Coffee Brown from Alaskan. And as I said last time, they don't distribute to Indiana where I live. I'm outside of Indianapolis, but I was recently up in Madison, Wisconsin, and I mulled myself some beer from that trip. So, as far as locals, my favorite brewery is that I visit the most would be Traders Brewing up northwest Indianapolis, but that's mostly because I go up there and play trivia with a bunch of friends. I love Sun King. I love Taxman. Those are the bigger ones in the area that people probably know. I have heard Wendy mention Deviate before. I like it there, but I have to be careful when I go there because they're high ABVs.
And my first question I want to ask you before we kind of get into today's, you know, very relaxed show. What is, you know, we have our competition, quote unquote, with Ohio. You know, people from Ohio hate Michigan. Michigan hates Ohio. With Michigan beer in Indiana, is it a love-hate relationship? Do you guys just love your Sun King, your Three Floyds, Screw, Shorts and Founders and that? Or, you know, is there kind of like a parallel where you guys at least appreciate Michigan beer?
And we definitely appreciate Michigan beer. Indiana beer is kind of weird. If you can't really think of any regional breweries out of it until Three Floyds expanded a few years back. And then there was definitely love hate with Three Floyds because they distributed to Chicago, not to downstate Indiana. So it was hard to find their stuff here. It was easy to find their stuff in Chicago or easier to find their stuff up in Chicago. So calling them an Indiana brewery kind of hurt a little back then, but they've expanded. You know, now they're sort of regional. I think they are regional. They hit New York anyway. And as far as getting Michigan beer, yeah, we've always loved, for example, Two Hearted. That's always been popular in my area. But then the locals are so good, even if they aren't distributing widely. I guess Sun King is now in Florida and Indiana, so it's two interesting states to be in. But and then Upland distributes more. But there's still, I don't know what their volume is like as far as how they distribute, because it's sours that they mainly distribute.
Well, before we get into the show a little bit more, I want to tell you guys, and I want to hear your, you know, Black Friday stories about beer, something that's happened to you or happens to you, you know, walking into a store and you see all the random Bourbon Counties just sitting there like, oh, this was an accident. My story for you comes from today. I decided I needed to go to Kroger to just kind of get a few things for the weekend. So I went in there to Kroger and it was about 9 o'clock and I'm like, you know, hey, I'm curious if it's there, and one of the beer reps that is there notices me looking for something. Like you have that look. You're looking for something very specific, and he goes, "You know, what are you looking for?" And I said, "Oh, you know, I'm looking for Bourbon County. It's probably distributed by the folks who are the Anheuser-Busch house here in Washtenaw County." And he goes, "Oh yeah, I think I saw the lady in the back. I can go ask and see if she's there." And I said, "You know what? If you don't mind, that'd be great." So he goes and he decides to ask. He works for the Miller House over here. And he comes back, and I'm out, and I'm doing other shopping and stuff too. I was going to come check back in a minute. And I overhear her say, "Yeah, you know, a lot of crazy people come, and they try to get beers, and they wait in line. And I'm probably just going to make this guy wait so long that he's just going to leave." And I never saw her, but I heard her, and I'm like, "Oh, well, I guess I'm not getting my Bourbon County today." So I went off and did all the other stuff that I needed to do, went to the pet store, to the pharmacy, and then I am drinking my one Bourbon County. But does anybody have maybe a more fun, a nicer Black Friday story than me getting trolled by the Anheuser-Busch distributor here in Washtenaw County?
All I have to say to that is, wow. Does she not want to sell beer?
I understand the plight of like the truck chasers, and people probably follow her from Kroger to Kroger to Kroger. Assuming, because from what Matt Bush has told me, like usually if you're in stores like Meijer, Kroger, like that's kind of your territory. You don't do more than maybe two or three Meijers or two or three Krogers. So she's probably gets stuck with people that are like following her and asking her and stuff, but I was definitely her first stop that day. And I just crazy, cause I didn't need it. I didn't go back, obviously. I'm drinking a 2019, but yeah, it was a weird feeling to be almost how I talk about CBYs on this show. This lady's talking about me, and I'm like, I don't know. I did buy 2 4 packs of Dragon's Milk though, and walked out.
Did you get the Milka Mint?
No, I got the oatmeal cookie and the regular. I haven't had regular in God knows how long. And it was like a dollar more for the adjunct variant. And it was like $16.99 for a 4-pack and $17.99 for the adjunct. And I'm like, all right, I'll take a 4-pack of each.
I hadn't seen the Milka Mint before today. I picked one up.
Have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't. My son had one with dinner. I don't know what. I chose to pair a mocha mint with steak, but there you have it.
I'm always interested because I'm not a real big fan of mint in beer. I feel like it's a really hard flavor to nail properly. So I'm always interested to try it if I haven't had it before to see if they were able to make it work. I had a much better experience getting VCBS today. I wasn't going to go look for it, but I realized I wanted to pick something up for the show. And I actually picked up a Schelfer-Hoffer Passion Fruit Hefeweizen. And I was at the register and I was like, "Hey, did you guys get any BCBS today?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, hang on. Let me go get it for you." So they had the Bananas Foster, which is the one I wanted to try anyways. And and the regular. So I just got one of each. It was that easy. No chasing.
Yeah, I don't understand this chasing thing. That's at least 5 years in the past, if not more. You can walk in anywhere. There were no lines anywhere. I walked into beer store to get beer for the show. They had a crap ton, even of the Eagle Rare Barrel one. Stopped at another place. They had it on tap and had coolers full of all of them for people coming in. Like, there is no, I don't know, outside of Ken, who's having to chase anything. It's literally walk in no matter where you want to go. Yeah, it's like walk in wherever you want. They've got a crap load of it.
Well for here,
I don't think that's true here.
Here in Ypsilanti, we're in a craft beer desert where the first closest true craft beer store is a graveyard that still has like Arcadia Ales on its shelf. And it's not only a graveyard, everything's overpriced and the guy does not do any negotiating.
So, do you normally barter when you go into a beer store?
When you're selling bizarre. Like, eight-year-old, you know, porters, it's like the one random liquor store in downtown Ypsilanti. Like, I'll go in there and I'll be like, hey, you know, these beers might taste like shit. I will buy them for you at a deep discount to get them off your shelves. But this person probably still has, like, obviously they still have Arcadia, which I've mentioned.
You check if they have any brick.
You know, I don't know if I've looked that hard, but I would not be surprised. That's how much of a, you know, I don't want to say it's a ripoff. Yeah, this place is a ripoff. And there's another place just a little bit east of me. And that was the same place I've told the story where I walked in there. I'm like, oh, they have Bourbon County on the shelf. I'm going to go pick up a bottle. And when I went to check out, it was like $27 for a regular bottle of Bourbon County. And I said, no, thank you. And put it right back. And I've never been in that place again. So we're in a craft beer store desert. The closest place I actually took you, Dan, to Blue Front in Ann Arbor.
Oh, I remember
that's like the truest, closest craft beer store. And then the next one's in Canton. So
do you have Total Wine near you?
We do have a Total Wine. And that's, I guess that's probably going to be the closest. Now I always forget about Total Wine just because I probably buy more liquor there than I do beer.
Well, Total Wine probably has more Bourbon County that they can even go through in a year.
Yeah,
they
I might swing by, but I don't recall ever seeing Bourbon County there. And I've been there, like, you know, before Christmas, but I also haven't looked for it, so I can't really tell you if that's, you know, true or not. So we're in this just oasis, but one of my neighbors,
you mean desert.
Desert, yes. Yeah. Desert. one of my neighbors actually is the beer procurement person for a Meyer off of Zeeb, which is in the more west side of Ann Arbor. And she says that at 7 a.m., she'll have a line of about 60 to 70 people every year.
What is even happening?
So I can't tell you everywhere else. Like Jack on Zatuna just posted, hey, I've got all these bottles. Let's go. Over on his Facebook page or on the Zatuna Liquor Facebook page, one of our sponsors. Thank you so much. But this is also one of the first years where I talked to former sponsor Ryan over at Three Nicks, and he goes, we didn't even know if we were going to get any allocation this year. So I don't know if I feel like there's a change within how we go about Black Friday for Bourbon County. I don't think it's as bad as it was when we first started 8 years ago with people literally like sharing their life story on Facebook, saying which stores they got which beers from and which stores are empty and which ones are filled and which ones are ripoffs. Those days were crazy. But
I agree. Yeah, when we first started.
Posts where stores are requiring you to buy other Goose Island products in order to even purchase BCBS.
Yeah, where do we get the IPA?
They're hoping to bet that nobody notices that that's illegal and doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And they probably just, you know, if you say something, they'll let you buy your allocation that they were going to offer anyways and say, get the hell out of here, kid.
I remember GameStop doing that when I feel like the 360, Xbox 360 came out. They're like, oh, it depends on what else you're going to buy, like what extra controllers and everything. It's just, that's a shitty way to do business. There shouldn't be any. I mean, why are you gatekeeping beer of all things?
Well, because in order for them to get an allotment, they have to sell so much product.
So
the more product that they sell, the more they get the next year.
How true is that? Because, you know, these days, because the store where I bought one of the Eagle Rares today, they have zero Goose Island on the shelf, like through the whole year. There's no Goose Island you can buy there throughout the entire year, and they still get cases of it. So I don't know if that's still true anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what they told me. This was quite a few years ago, though.
I remember that.
When I lived in Redford, they told me that.
I remember that a long time ago. I don't know if it's still the case. Ken, Rob, you have any ideas?
I'm actually contacting someone to get that. So continue the conversation. And if there's nothing else, tell us your Black Friday story.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah. My best Black Friday story, which was highly successful, was it started with a trip to Costco, my normal Friday trip to Costco. And they had Goose Island there, limit 2. So I picked some up at, you know, a really reasonable price. I don't remember. It was a few years ago. And then there's a good liquor store near there. So I swung by there and they had 2 variants. So I picked those up. And then I thought, oh, well, I know one more liquor store. It's on the way home. It's the smallest hole in the wall liquor store. It caters to, I live near the Speedway, which isn't the, or I'm sorry, I live near the Raceway, which isn't the Speedway. It's where the drag strip is mostly. And so it caters to that mostly, like this little liquor store. And I swung by there because it's on the way home. And sure enough, they had the other 2 variants on the shelf there. I asked about it and they said, yeah, we post on Facebook, people show up right away, and then this is what's left. So that would have been probably 11 in the morning. We're still sitting there. So I picked up a couple of those and headed home. It was a very good Black Friday.
Yeah.
Now, Rob, I'm curious. Do you get, how far south of Chicago are you?
About 3 hours. Sure.
Do you get the proprietor stout down there or no?
I have never chased the variants that hard. So I don't know.
So something I found interesting this year, Arizona always somehow gets screwed. I can't remember. Was it 2021? We had Goose Island on here.
2020, I believe.
2020. They sent us the variant that was in the box. I can't remember which one, the purple and black box. Like, for example, that didn't end up out here in Arizona. This year, everyone was expecting it, all the stores, but we didn't get the cask finished variant. No one out here did. And a lot of people were kind of upset about that. So I'm wondering, Wendy, you may know, since you were out there today looking for variants, did you see the cask finished or were all the variants available?
No, well, I didn't actually go looking. I stopped in to get something else and they just happened to have 2 of the variants, or they had the original and the Bananas Foster. So that was the one I wanted to try anyways. So, I mean, I always am willing to try all of them, but I like bananas in my beer. So. I know. It's
I'm sorry. A lot of people do, and I don't know why. There's a brewery out here
But I love banana.
Yeah, there's a brewery out here that makes a beer called Bananarchy. It's a barrel-aged banana stout, and people go nuts about it. And I feel like I'm going to throw up in my mouth whenever I hear people talking about it. Like, it doesn't make sense.
I'm
going to
need you to send me some of that.
I will next time it comes out if you want some. They can it.
Absolutely.
So I can definitely do that.
One of my beery Discord servers separated into Team Banana versus Team Pickle.
So pickle beer.
Wait, I like both.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's so kind of the
banana
problem,
pickle beer coming up. It sounds like something Drecker would do. Banana pickle sour.
I don't know about that.
But no, you wouldn't. It's just everything you like.
I don't understand why I don't like mint in beer, though, because I love mint anything else. I love it. Shamrock shakes, junior mints are like my favorite candy. Like,
Shamrock shakes,
but put it in beer and I feel like it tastes like toothpaste.
So none of those are carbonated.
Did you ever try Mocha Munt from Oddside when they made it years ago? They haven't made it in a while.
Yes. That is one of the ones that I did like.
I was going to say that one was very good. So if you, at least you like that. So I'm assuming you don't like Naughty Girl Stout from Right Brain. Mm,
nope.
Oh, such a good beer.
Nope. That's none of the bad. Thin Mint ones.
Is it because the flavor's off? It doesn't actually taste like a Thin Mint.
Yeah. Well, for some reason I feel like when they put peppermint in beer, it usually is too strong of a peppermint flavor and it tastes like mouthwash to me instead of
tastes like they put Listerine in the they dry hopped it with Listerine.
And it could be the type of mint too.
I feel like it's extract is what they put in for that. I don't know if they're actually dropping candy canes or something like that. And probably not. So it's probably some type of extract is what I'm going to assume. I could ask the guy at Right Brain. I talk to him every time I go up there. Pretty nice guy. I don't know if you guys have been there. We've never had him on the show. And apparently his mom lives down here in Arizona. Like, they all knew about the flight from Arizona to Traverse City. It was kind of weird. Ken, did you find an answer? You've been kind of quiet.
I do not have a response back from my source, no.
Okay.
It is Friday on a holiday.
It's so. Black Friday. Yeah. So good chance.
I don't know if we're going to get it. Obviously, the simple question I ask them is this true or a myth?
You know, about the allocation.
Yeah. How many times have we told and retold and retold the story? You know, have we created our own lore or
urban legend?
Yes. Yeah. Or is right. this actually a real thing? So I want to verify, as there are times where the amount of times I've told and retold the M43 story here, there's probably some added lore that did not happen on the actual show that just kind of like grew as we continued to.
Everett just keeps adding on to it.
Yeah. And that's when Travis let me create the double dwarf. No. that was such a weird. I loved it the second time. The first time I had it, it was not anything that I liked. But yeah, that was like a one-time bottle thing. That's at the beer graveyard that I went to.
Where it's was got it 9 years old.
I mean, it was back when like Old Nation was just starting. So I think it was like 2016, 2017.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so that's why I call that place like a graveyard, but it's not even like they're not selling stuff even at MSRP after being 8 years old. Like they're just like, yeah, we're just gonna keep it on the shelf until
there's dust on the bottles.
Oh my god. have you seen some of the times where I've gone to these stores and I like have a caked thing of dust on my fingers.
That's so messed up.
That's why
you consume. Like, what are you doing?
That's why I say, that's why I offer money. Like, hey, I'll give you this much money for the beers because it might taste like trash. Like the barrel aged beers we know are going to age fairly well. But I think I had like a Bell's Porter from like 2016.
I'm like, from there, right? From that store?
Not from the graveyard store, from the downtown one that lets me barter.
from the beer bazaar.
I love that they let you barter.
Beer swap meet going on.
That's not even something I would really think of. I'm going to try it next time, though.
They have like their wall of coolers and they have their singles area. And then they actually have like all these old ass bottles in its own little section. And this place will have like IPAs from like falling down or like not only dead breweries, but like a beer that does not last that long just sitting on the shelf. Go on, Rob.
We've got a place on the south side here. They have an excellent beer selection, but they have that dead zone, and everything in there has a sticker on it that says it's a dollar, sometimes less.
Well, that's they're awesome. Being smart. Yeah, that's a smart move.
I have brought those in as share beers many times. The people love seeing the dollar sticker and wondering what we're going to get.
Yeah, the place here right up the street where I normally go, when a keg's has been on too long or getting to the end of life, they'll crawler them all up and put them in the cooler for like $3-4 a crawler. They're like, here you go. We got to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So it's the smart way to do it. Not where they have dust on the bottle. They're like $19 for something that's 8 years old.
But if they sell it, they have to replace it with something else.
Good point. They don't want to spend the money.
I tell you what, the place in Celine that has this is they have plenty of space to still fill up the rest of the space when I would go and if I would go and buy their beer. If they gave me half off even some of their because their prices are not only they're more than MSRP still. So like half off, I'd still be tempted to try some things.
I remember a few years ago, it was right when they started pushing up the release dates for all the pumpkin beers. I walked in at like the end of July, like beginning of August, and they at my local when I was over in the other town, and they were like, it was just a gigantic wall of pumpkin beers. There was every flavor and variety that you could think of from like every brewery in Michigan. And I was like, oh, it's too soon for that. I'm like, that's not going to go well for you. And I remember by the end of October, they had that whole wall was on clearance.
That's still one. I don't think I need to get a pumpkin beer on clearance even.
No, no. Thank God you said that because
no
pumpkin beers. Like I said, I buy them just to throw them away, get more of them out of distribution as possible.
Right, I don't know if numbers. You know this, but numbers.
No, don't say that. No, don't ruin my vision of what I'm doing is like heroic.
Canton Fine Wine always does, after I think like March or April, they'll always discount all their unsold pumpkin beers, and you could usually get in there and get it for like, you know, $2 a bottle or a can, if that, like $9.99 a six pack at most. And some of them are like Pump King, like some of the big dogs, and then a lot of them are just the weird random Blue Moon pumpkin and Fat Tire, you know, canned yams. I don't know. I was trying to think of another like Thanksgiving type food, and candied yams was the thing that I came up with. Does anybody else have a Black Friday story? Because if not, I'm just going to go into the next part of my segment.
No, let's keep going. Unless all you right. guys, I'm sorry. I'm just talking for everyone. Sorry.
Well, Wendy and Rob, you know, they shook their heads no. Better on Draft is made possible thanks to our sponsor, North Center Brewing in Northville, Michigan. Open Tuesday to Sunday, North Center provides a fun atmosphere with amazing beer. Try their Bobby English while playing shuffleboard, or wash down their classic Reuben sandwich with a glass of painkiller. Find them online at northcenterbrewing.com. Better on Draft is sponsored by Zatuna Liquor. Located on Rochester Road in Rochester Hills, go visit Jack and see why he is known as one of the best beer and bourbon stores in the state. A large variety of singles, wine, booze, and snacks, Zatuna Liquor is your one-stop shop before a party. Better on Draft is sponsored by Craft Tapped. Currently located in 11 states, including Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, Craft Tapped is a monthly subscription that pays for itself after just one visit to your local brewery. Use the code BOD at checkout and receive 15% to any membership, not just for Michigan fans. For Michigan fans, get 50% off your first two pints at each venue you go to, including Better on Draft sponsored North Center Brewing and 2022 March Draftness winner Copper Hop in St. Clair Shores. You know, because we are on video at youtube.com/ Better on Draft, or you can watch us live twitch.tv/ Better on Draft every Friday, 7:15 p.m. Eastern is when we start. A little while ago, we did a segment about that was beer, craft beer related regarding being an asshole somewhere. I have three more Am I the Assholes lined up to tell you.
Oh, here we go. All right.
And I need your opinions on whether you think the original poster is in fact an asshole or not. Number one, the subject is, am I the asshole for letting someone drink my friend's beer and refusing to pay them back? I, 28 male, had a friend, 29 male, Brian, over almost 3 months ago, where he brought a 12-pack of Coors and only drank half of it. When he left the remaining beers in my fridge, despite me reminding him to grab them. Since then, he's come over twice for little things, and I told him to grab the beers he left, but he didn't. Come Saturday, I had a couple people over, and they asked if they could have the Coors, which I considered abandoned at this point, so I said sure. They drank all the remaining beers that night. Last night, Brian came over for a minute and asked to grab his beers, and I told him they were gone. He got angry that I gave his beers away and demanded I pay for the remaining beers. I refused because I felt he had plenty of time to take or drink them and that he abandoned them at my place. We have three of these, so we'll start each one with a different person. So we're going to start with Wendy. Wendy! Not the asshole. Why?
Not the asshole. I think we talked about this before, the beer etiquette when going to somebody's house. Generally, you leave those beers there unless they prefer you not. It sounds like this guy asked him to take them. I thought he was pretty nice to hold on to him for as long as he did. So not the asshole at all.
Yes. 3 months he has left the beer in somebody else's refrigerator. Wendy says not the asshole. Rob.
Not the asshole. And 3 months in a refrigerator is probably more electricity than it would cost to replace those beers.
I would say so myself, Dan.
Yeah, so was this Johnny Lawrence? Like, getting mad about his Coors? I've always assumed, and Ken, I've done this a million times. You know, if I come over and leave beer, that's yours. Like, who's getting mad over some Coors of all things? I would have been like, here's your $7. Like, don't bother coming over again. Like, what the hell is that?
I don't think I've ever left beer at somebody's place with the intention of going back to get it. I'm trying to think of any situation. Like, I don't even know, like, a day is considered abandoned in my eyes. Like, 24 hours, that beer is mine. And I mean, there are plenty of times where people have just left beer at my house and I didn't even know they left it because it's just in the refrigerator in my basement. And then, oh, hey, somebody else drinks it. I'm like, all right, I mean, whatever. Like,
that's typical etiquette.
Like, yeah.
I think any beer left over becomes community beer. I think that's a fair rule.
I agree.
So is that craft beer etiquette or is that regular beer etiquette? Does that make sense?
I think that's all beer etiquette.
I mean, I would think it's all beer etiquette, but...
Who drank my hands?
We're also craft beer drinkers, so...
Yeah, if I went over to, like, Dan's place and I left... They 2 out of 6 from a 6-pack of, you know, Bel Air Brown or something. Like, that's Dan's Bel Air Brown now. Like,
oh, it'd be drank that night, I'm sure. You're like, sorry, man.
I do not see any. Now, the proper etiquette if you're a guest is to always ask what beer you could drink. As yes. these people did. And they asked if they could drink the Coors, and I believe the ownership was the original poster and no longer Brian. I believe Brian's the asshole for
True story.
Asking for money after the beer was drank. Like, if you expected the beer to be there and it wasn't, then that's your loss, period. But to ask for money after the fact, like, what also are you going to give him? Like, 6 Coors is like $4.
That's what I'm saying. Like, here's your fucking $7. Get over it.
It ain't even like if I left, like, maybe something like, oh, we went over to do a share at Dan's place and I left a Sam Adams Utopia, and I'd be like, hey, can we save that for another day? Oh, but that's a binding contract between myself and now the new owner, Dan.
Oh yeah, that's a different story. But
anyway, I don't mean to.
Oh, go on, Wendy.
I have something to totally interrupt off this subject, though. Yes. One of the things that I found today was a 4-pack of the Utopia's barrel aged worldwide stout for $60 for a 4-pack.
Yeah, let's go for about 10 a bottle. They're trying to rip you off.
Yeah, well, I didn't buy it, but.
I have a bottle. I think I had a bottle of, like, somebody was saying, man, they really wanted to try this one beer. And mind you, since COVID, I don't really save beer anymore. Like, the beer is going to get drank no matter what. And I had this bottle of 120 from 2022, I believe, signed by Sam. And a friend came over and he was talking about, he's like, yeah, they always talk about 120 minute. I've never had it before. And I literally get out the bottle and hand it to him. He's like, here you go. Like, I don't need this. Like, I didn't pay for it in the first place, but he's like, no, I can't take that. We'll drink it another day. But I think when it comes to beer, you can't be too overly protective of what you quote unquote own or have or whatever. I think beer is a community drink that is meant to be served with the community, with friends. As much as I joked about saying I'm not sharing this Bourbon County with anyone, but I'm sure the Dragon's Milk is going to get shared. The Odd Side from Black Friday last year that I have is going to get shared. So,
yeah, when it's put in someone else's fridge and you go home, unless they send you home with your beer, then it's theirs. It lives there now.
True story.
I've been pleasantly surprised many times by my friends when I show up again later and some of my beer is still in their fridge and they offer it to me to drink while I'm there. So.
It's almost like a pleasant surprise. Like, you gifted yourself that beer, you know, the right. Old you gifted it for the forward you.
Oh, I love this beer. I'm so glad I left it here.
That's right. I guess you didn't like it. That's okay.
All right. This is going to be a more social one. I'm guessing they're Canadian or European based on the ages itself. My boyfriend, male 20, and I, female 18, have been together for 5 months after my graduation party. I saw him give his friend, female 20, a sip of beer he wanted her to try. She has always been super nice to me and has made me feel welcome within his group of friends at college and invites me to literally everything. I never get jealous like this, but something just didn't feel right to me. It seems weird for her to be okay with putting her lips where his was, and it seems very intimate and inappropriate to me. She was playing cornhole with his parents the whole night, and they looked very comfortable. It made me think something might be going on. When I brought this up to my boyfriend, he was kind of shocked and then just laughed. Rob.
I would probably have the exact same reaction he had, honestly.
Wait, you mean this is the woman?
No, he had to laugh at her when she brought it up.
Yeah, the original poster is the female, and he was shocked at her thoughts and laughed at her thoughts.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, got it.
So I don't think that he is the asshole. I don't think that she's the asshole either. Like, she should definitely make her feelings known, and she did. So that's good. But I regularly go to things with friends. Some of them are of the female persuasion. And we share around like tasters all the time I just got Winterfest tickets. That's my other happy Black Friday thing, Winterfest Indiana. So we're going to be sharing around tasters the whole time we're there. Like, it's just easier than standing in four different lines.
Dan.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Wendy, but this sums up women, probably not our generation, but this sums up the newer generations in 2023. Like, she's getting jealous over the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Like, especially when he laughs, he's like, are you kidding me? That's the way I'm seeing it. At least I'm perceiving it. So no, she is the asshole. He's not like, what are you doing? Basically is what I'm saying.
Well, Wendy, the female persuasion, the voice of all women in craft beer, Wendy Taylor.
I don't know about that. I would say, I don't think that she's an asshole. I do think that it is important for her to say, hey, I'm uncomfortable with this. I think that it was about way more than him sharing his beer with her. The whole conversation about the playing cornhole with his parents type thing, that really lends a little more to why she's feeling this way as opposed to her drinking from his glass. Like Rob, though, I probably would have laughed too if she'd have said that to me as her friend and pulled me aside and been like, she just drank out of his glass. I would have laughed at her too. I remember a few years ago we were at Summer Beer Fest and I had a friend with me who was not a craft beer person. She was volunteering through an organization with me, and after we were done working our shift, we were going to the different tents and stuff, and we were standing in line for something, and the guy behind me had a sample in his hand, and he was like, what are you going to get? And I said, well, I'm trying to decide between this and this. And he's like, oh, well, I think this is really good. And he hands me a sampler, and I tried it, and he gave it back. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I will get that one. And I turned around to talk to her, and she goes, do you know him? I'm like, no. Didn't even think about it. Like, somebody gives you a sampler, you try it. Like that. So I would have laughed at her too. But I do think that it's about way more than just that particular portion of the story that she was feeling bad about.
Well, yeah, she's insecure, hands down. I mean, was her boyfriend and this girl like touching tongues while they were like trying this sample? Like, what?
Well, like I said, though, I think that it was more about the fact that how comfortable she was with his parents. And there was more to it than what she actually told in the story.
Yeah, I think it's a little obvious. There's a little bit more underlying issues when it comes to what's going on within that relationship itself. I can't tell you how many times where I could be with, you know, I have one of my best couples friends, their names are Brock and Courtney. They've been married for a long time. I stood up in Brock's wedding. Like, I've just known them for probably 20 plus years now. And if something were to happen where like Courtney ordered a beer and I said, oh man, I was thinking of getting this. And she goes, she would literally just say, here, have a try. Like, she'd literally throw the beer in my face and say, please try this before you want it. So I think when it comes to beer, specifically in the craft beer world, like, you're not getting someone to try a Hams or a Milwaukee's Best Ice. Like, these these are a little bit more of an investment money wise, and you want to share, you know, just like food, you want to share this experience with other people, as I'm sure he's probably offered his girlfriend, you know, tastes of the beer. I think we've all come to the conclusion that neither are the asshole, but they need to really look into their relationship a little bit more. But again, they're also 19 and 20 or 21. Like, they're young, they're little babies. They don't have a lot of real world experience. We've got at least one more. I pulled up one that might be more Thanksgiving related too, but I want to get this one first. Am I the asshole for making a dad buy me a new beer after his kid kicked mine over? So I, young 20s female, was at a kind of outdoor neighborhood festival a few weeks ago where everyone was mostly sitting on the grass in groups. I sat down with a full cup of beer and a small circle of friends when a young child, maybe 6, ran through the middle of the circle and kicked over my full beer. I was nice about it and was like, it's okay, but would you mind buying me another one since it was full? The dad was reluctant and seemed pissy at me for asking, but I got up and was basically like, okay, let's go. The bar was like 7 yards away. He still seemed really annoyed with me, so I am wondering if I was in the wrong. I am a student, so a $7 beer is expensive for me, and I had been drinking a tiny bit before this, so I'm sure my judgment wasn't all there. Too long, didn't read. Kid kicked over my drink, so I asked his dad to buy me another one. It looks like we have a little bit more context. Copied from a comment, someone asked if I was sure the dad was mad at me and not just his kid. I asked him to pay for it, and he kind of brushed me off and then started walking away back to sit next to his wife. So I followed him and was like, hey, sorry, but do you mind getting me another one? And he begrudgingly got up and went to the bar, and he was just kind of giving me dirty looks. But I was just like, whatever at that point. I was nice the whole time, though. I am 23 and kind of small. I wish. So I wasn't being like in his face or intimidating or anything. Is she the asshole? Dan, we start with you.
So am I assuming this is a place like Pine Knob sitting on the lawn?
I'm thinking it's safe. More like a small little park event. Like maybe they have like a beer garden or something like that, or a tent. Like, you know, I don't know if you ever knew, but the DeQuinder Cut opened up like a nice little bar and area, and there's kids that are there and adults and stuff that you can go hang out, chill, and drink a beer. So I think it's more of a public setting that just has a beer license nearby.
Okay, so if I'm in a knowledge-less place, I'm sitting on the grass, that beer is in my hand. You know, kids are running around, you know, kids are close by, you know, they could possibly, cause they don't know better, are going to run through and knock your beer over. That's a fact of life. How I would handle it, cause I've had beer knocked out of my hands a million times. If they don't offer, I'm just going to be like, whatever, I'll just go get another one. Being 23 and a $7 beer. No, you know, the risks if you're sitting on the ground, that's just my opinion. But if you're sitting there and not holding on to it, so it's totally possible it could even fall over sitting on the grass. I mean, are you going to get the lawn to pay for your beer if that happens? So it can happen. I don't know. She might be over-exaggerating about what his reactions were. But the fact he did it, you can't get too mad. He went and did it for her, so... No, she's the asshole, I think.
All right, Wendy.
Absolutely not. Bullshit. I call bullshit on that right now. This goes back to being in control of your kids when you're out in public. even if you're in a public place, your kids shouldn't be running around like animals so that they can knock shit over like that. It's just not, no, she was sitting with a group of people. He apologized to her for it happening. So he knows that his kid did it. Don't make her feel bad because you have to buy a fucking beer that your kid knocked over. Absolutely not. She is not the asshole.
Rob, I guess you're the deciding factor here.
So I'm with Wendy. I'm kind of proud of her for standing up to him and, you know, making him buy the beer. It's honestly something he should have offered anyway. If his kid knocked over a beer, like, I know if one of my kids had done that, I would have offered to replace the beer. Like, that's just, it seems like the thing that you'd do. And that they were in a circle and the beer was in the middle of the circle, I feel like provides some amount of protection, at least in her mind. Like, she was being responsible. She had replaced her beer responsibly on the ground. So I don't think she's the asshole.
Let's change a few parts of this and we'll go around again and ask. So let's say they are at a park and let's say they are off to the side and some kids are just kicking the soccer ball next to themselves. You know, they went close to them, started kicking it back and forth. A kid kicked a soccer ball. It hits the beer in the hand of the person. And now that person wants the parent of that kid, obviously, to pay for that beer. So is this still a, the liability is on, you know, the person holding the beer, or is there a little bit more leniency you think this time, Dan?
No, it's still on you. You're in public. Shit happens, especially if you're in a park where soccer balls or cricket balls or rugby balls are getting thrown around. That's life. If you're going to be somewhere where that can happen, I mean, you're taking that risk. It's just a thing.
What park are you in where the three balls that are getting thrown are soccer, cricket, and rugby?
I mean, maybe not the same park.
Not in the U.S.
No, I mean, there's cricket parks here. There's rugby. Maybe not all the same place. Maybe not all the same place. But if you're in a park where some type of sport like that's happening, where a ball is going around, you're taking the risk. Plain and simple. There are other places to go.
Wendy and Rob, are you still on team beer holder as not the asshole?
That one I would agree. That's an accident.
Okay.
That's a kid running in between people that they don't know. That's not an accident. That's you not taking care of your kids. People playing with a ball and having that come over, that's an accident. That I would get.
A kid running through the circle, there's some intent there.
Right.
But a kid kicking a ball, well, some kids are better at controlling the ball when they kick it than others.
Right.
Wait, are we putting intent on a, like, say, like a 6-year-old?
Yeah, they could have intent.
Now, I would say if it was me running through, it'd be intent. Kind of like if we go back to the blind ref's Halloween party. But I don't know if there's intent on a 6-year-old or like an 8-year-old running through a circle.
When there's a, if it's a circle of people, it sounds like they don't know the people. Like, that's
right. If you don't know the people,
some group that they're not part of and they just ran through the middle of it. There's something not right about that that needs to be addressed.
Okay, that's fair.
Agreed.
We are going to go through one more, but I do have a response. Usually, so regarding the Bourbon County allocation, that is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It was usually top craft accounts where we knew it would sell. This is where they would get the beer. A couple of squeaky wheels if they really bitched about not getting it. So if a beer store was like, how the hell am I not getting it? So they probably get it. But he then finishes and says, but usually the brand reps would also sell it in and allocate it to the retailers, meaning that basically the brand reps of Goose Island would be the ones that are playing a big part into where the allocation goes. So I could guess there might be some pay to play in there.
Sounds like it.
For that. So maybe there was like, hey, I'll give you this, but you got to make sure you get your Goose Island numbers up, or you got to get your XYZ. Well, I'd have to be Goose Island because it was, he said brand rep and not distribution rep. All right. One more. And then we're going to take a break before we go into the news. Am I the asshole for only bringing craft beer to the family Thanksgiving? Hey, all, truly don't know where to begin with this. I'm from Colorado, and the beer culture here is pretty big. Breweries everywhere, families hang at breweries, etc. Buying local is also a pretty big thing in this area, and it's something I agree with. Now, I don't consider myself one of those uppity beer snobs or anything. I love to try beer, but if it comes down to it, a Montucky cold snack is just as crushable as anything else. I was in charge of the beer for this Thanksgiving. I grabbed a pretty big variety, but they were all smaller breweries. No Miller, Stella, etc. But they weren't all super hoppy IPAs or uppity stouts. Cheers to Bourbon County. There were lagers and pilsners and blonde ales, light beer, dark beer, hoppy beer, and fruity beer. They just all happened to be smaller operations I could support. Well, I got home with them and shit hit the fan. I got reamed out for trying to force people to drink my hipster beer and shit like that. Other people were bringing wine and cocktail mixers and stuff, so it's not like Thanksgiving was ruined, but I got seriously called some names and had some people get really mad at me over it. Am I the asshole? We'll just continue going to Wendy for the first one, or for this one, the last one.
So I feel like they missed a prime opportunity to buy local in bringing Coors because they're in Colorado.
Shout out Johnny Lawrence.
A good reason to bring Coors to your family, to somebody else's house. I find it really amusing. You're not the asshole. They told you to bring beer. You brought a bunch of different beers. I think you probably spent more than you would have if you'd have just brought all Miller or whatever they wanted. Who cares? Just drink something that you just try it. If you don't like it, drink a wine or a pop or something. I don't know. No, you're not the asshole.
Yes, there were other versions of alcohol there, wine, cocktails, etc. Rob, is the person an asshole?
No, definitely not an asshole. They might have done a little better at knowing their audience. If this sounds like a family thing, so they should probably have had some heads up of what was going on or what was going to happen. In the same vein, they could have said, you know, you love Coors. Well, here is the most similar Coors from this local brewery. So we're supporting local this Thanksgiving type of a thing. Because every brewery has one of those.
Dan.
Well, yeah. Wasn't it Cellarman's that used to make the beer similar to PBR because they were playing to the audience?
Yes, like something Thrasher or Trasher. Or
I think they had both of them. I don't remember what both of them were. But, you know, as long as you bought towards the style of your family that they know, like that you know that they like, I don't think you're doing anything wrong. Let know if you brought, just because we keep talking about it, cases of Goose Island BCBS. That's fucked up. But if you're bringing styles of beer you think people will drink, there's nothing wrong with that.
Before, like, our family's matriarch passed away and, like, everyone kind of splintered off into their own family holiday Christmas parties and stuff, all the adult children were just responsible for bringing their own beer. Like, that was just the rule. You brought your own shit, and that was it. Like, you didn't bring anything else. So this guy had the opportunity to bring beer. It doesn't sound like he was given any rules and regulations as to what beer to bring. I agree, you know, knowing your audience is kind of half the battle, but I don't think he also expected to be, you know, lit up verbally for bringing
that's totally beer, screwed up.
Beer like that. Like, there is such an easy, rectifiable way to respond to that and be like, all right, can you go to Walmart and buy a 24 of Miller Lite so, you know, Grandma Sally can drink her, you know, have her high lifetime or whatever. Like, not only is this so over the top, because they went and bought a very big, a charcuterie of beer, a variety pack, and like, you can resolve the issue by going to 7 goddamn 11.
He probably spent more than the people who provided the turkey.
Oh, I'm sure. For sure. Yeah, I think this person, I think everybody else is the asshole here. And I think this is, if you guys do Reddit at all, this would definitely fall in the beggars choosing beggars category of someone who is not only upset at the beer that's free to them, but what beer they're getting, because it's not their local Silver Bullet. All right. That is episode 333, the Black Friday episode. If you are listening live, we will be back at 8:20 p.m. If you are listening via the podcast, the news segment will be released on Monday, the 27th, I believe is the date. We appreciate you listening. Stay tuned. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Cheers.